How's everybody doing tonight? Yay! Did you have a good day?
Yes.
Excellent. I just want to thank all of you for being so kind and welcoming, and I've just had a great time. So I think you should give yourselves an applause for being who you are and how awesome you are. So thank you. For those of you who weren't here last night, I'll pass around what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now in picture form. If you saw it, just pass it on, or whatever you want to do. Just don't throw them away when you're back. Okay. Let's see, and I'll try to not. It's hard not to. Last night, for those who weren't here, I talked about what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. And someone had asked me how I worked the steps. So I really quickly went through that. And so you might be hearing the same thing. So, you know, if you need to take a nod or some, no worries. It's okay. So, yeah. Okay. And first, I'd like to say I'm Jan. I'm a grateful food addict from South Dakota. Hi, everybody, my peeps. And I live about 10-15 miles behind Mount Rushmore. So if you ever want to play tours, come and see me, and I'd love to take you around. I'm abstinent today by the grace of God and the miracle of Overeaters Anonymous, and I currently have 13 and a half years of back-to-back abstinence, and I've maintained about 150-pound weight loss, give or take 2 pounds. This thing just... Oh, thanks. But you know what? It's not my victory. It's God. It's our victory. I can't do anything without God and you. And anything I say tonight or have any time I've here is not an original thought. I heard it from somebody else. So I just want to say that. And like I say a lot, because it reminds me, I am no authority or spokesperson on Overeaters Anonymous. So please take what's right for you and leave the rest. Let's see here. When Emily asked me to speak, and then I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? She said, well, Friday night you tell your story, and then the next night you talk about the theme. And I said, well, what's the theme? And she said, higher ground, getting to a higher ground. And immediately, like that, I thought, I have to talk about the steps, because that's how I went from living in a lower ground to a higher ground. And so for me, just real briefly, I grew up in a home where there was a lot of abuse. And I've talked about that, and I don't blame my parents anymore. I've had a lot of recovery and healing around that. I just say it because I have an understanding of where I came from. And I truly do believe they did the best they can. And I believe hurt people hurt people. And they were extremely hurt. They came from generations of addicts, alcoholics, and incest, emotional abuse, physical abuse. It runs rampant in my family. So they were just doing what had been done to them, and God bless them. God bless them. And to be honest, my perpetrator never did take responsibility, but my mom, who is in the program, when I told her when I was little, she was furious with me and said that couldn't have happened. Well, back then in the 60s, you know, what is she going to do? Leave her husband? There's no way. There's no way you do something like that in the 60s. So when she got in recovery and I remembered the incest that happened, I was 5 years sober in another program, and I had these memories coming up, and I talked to her then about it, and what she said to me is, I swear I don't remember you telling me that, but I believe you because I know you wouldn't lie to me, and I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry I didn't protect you. And that meant the world to me. Like, you cannot believe. And well, I'm sure a lot of you do believe, because there's a lot of us in the room who have been through all kinds of abuse. So I don't have the cornerstone on that. So anyway, so that's where I came from. And we grew up in the Methodist church. I have nothing against the Methodist church. And my concept of God had nothing to do with the Methodist church. My concept of God was hell, fire, and damnation. And God hated me, and he was mad at me. And I remember when I was little growing up, I'd pray, God, please help me. Please help us. You know, help us kids. You know, this craziness is going on. And it never seemed to get better. It only seemed to get worse. So I thought God hated me. I thought God didn't like me. I thought God didn't love me. Well, since then, that's changed. A lot of healing's taken place. However, I can still struggle with that when I'm not on a good spiritual footing. And so, so God and I were at war for years and years and years. And then I got into the program in 1983. And that changed. I wasn't at war with God anymore. I just did what y'all told me to do. I got a sponsor, and every Tuesday night, I'd go to my sponsor's house, and we'd read the big book out loud. Actually, I did all the reading, and she would, which it should have been, and she would share at different points what something meant to her, and I would share what something meant to me. And we always had a dictionary. I believe that the big book and dictionary are hand in hand. They're cousins. And even though I know words, what words mean, I still like to look them up. I still like to look them up. So that's how I went through the steps for the first time, was with a sponsor through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, many things took place that I talked about last night until 2001. And then I talked about how I had hit bottom finally and got in recovery and have been here by the grace of God ever since. And I started to really struggle with my relationship with God because of the abuse in my family. So I've had to do a lot of work on that area. I had to get some outside help. Page 133 in the big book. Because some people, not so much in this program, they don't believe in outside help. They just think, you know, you should be able to work the steps and you'll be okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people. I got to get some outside help, and I'm grateful for that. And I had to do that for about 20 years, in and out 20 years. And so it has gotten a lot better. And so today, what it's like today is I can still struggle with God, but nothing like I used to, nothing at all. And I've had to learn a lot to act as if. And sometimes I still have to do that. Other times I know in my heart of hearts that God loves me more than I will ever know or comprehend. It just depends on what the day is, what's going on, what have I been doing. But I believe it will get more consistent. So anyway, tonight I'm going to talk about the steps. So that's kind of where I was, you know, living on a lower ground. And you know what? I can still go to that lower ground if I don't keep doing my work. The person that is not my friend is called complacency, and she can take me down real fast if I don't stay on top of things. So there's a couple things I want to read in guess what book. First, I want to say something about the OA literature. I act like I don't know a thing about it, and that is so untrue. My favorite book in the OA literature is the abstinence book, and I'll tell you why. It's great for people if you're struggling to get abstinent, and it's great for people like me who'd been abstinent for a while. And I would read the stories in there with a girlfriend of mine. We'd meet every Sunday morning, and I would hear things in there. It's like, wow, I haven't heard that forever, and things I needed to see. So I'll plug the abstinence book. That's probably one of my favorite pieces in OA. And then I had a sponsee where she had already been through the big book, but she wanted to go through the OA 12 and 12 and the workbook. So I decided, well, we decided together, we'd do it together. So that's what we did. We'd read the first step, and then we'd answer the questions, and then we'd share with each other. And we went through the whole book like that. So I'm misrepresenting myself when I act like I don't know anything about the literature. And I'm a fan of a lot of the pamphlets. And so But I just happen to be, for some reason, I think the big book speaks louder to me because I call myself the Bill Wilson of food. And I talked about that last night. All the consequences he's had, I've had the same. I even had some more besides Bill Wilson. So I can relate to Bill Wilson so much. Now, as far as having a spiritual awakening, I'm more of a Dr. Bob. My spiritual awakening has been the educational variety. Very slowly. And I relate to Bill as far as the disease addiction itself, but the recovery part, I'm Dr. Bob. So where I'm going to go now is page 27. And it talks about actually, that was a lie. I'm going to page 45. All right. And this is one of my favorite things in the book. And it says on page 45, lack of power is my dilemma. So I have to find a power greater than me in which I could live with. And it had to be a power greater than me, obviously. But where do I find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, we're going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man or woman and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Lack of power has never been my dilemma because I've always had negative power. My goal when I got to this program was to find a positive power. The negative powers in my life before I got here were my parents, alcohol, drugs, food, men, shopping, which I talked about last night, anything that will make me feel better. That's been the power in my life. And food has never been a problem for me. I'll say it again. Food has never been a problem for me. Food has always been the solution for me. And that's how I ended up in this program, because I kept going to the wrong power, to the wrong solution. So I get here, and finally, after all the things that I went through, I can take step one. In my mind, my heart, and my soul. And for me, step one is the most spiritual step I have ever taken in my life. For me to admit that I am powerless, that I have no power over food, and that my life is a mess because of it and me, that's huge for me because I am a control freak. Now, when I say control freak, the root of control is fear. And I used to say, I'm a control freak. I'm a control freak. You know what I am? I'm a fearful person. I have a lot of fear. So for me to come in and admit I'm powerless and to do what y'all told me to do was huge for me. And it still is. And I say this in meetings. When I'm in meetings, I'm just as powerless as the new person, if not more, because the longer I'm abstinent, the thinner the ice. And that means I have to really stay on top of what I'm doing, because it would be so easy for me to forget where I came from, who I was, and what I did. So step one has been my saving grace and continues to be so. I am always going to be powerless over food. I am never going to be a normal eater. I can't say that enough to myself. I love the chapter on more about alcoholism, the first paragraph. It says that in the first two pages, I'm never going to be a normal eater. And you know what? Finally today, thank you, God, I am okay with that. I am okay with that. I'm even okay because I can't very I usually can't even eat like the people in OA. And you know what? I'm okay with that too. But that was a big, fat, long process. So I brought my own food tonight because I abstain from certain things, and I'm never going to let anybody be in charge of my food. I bring it. If I can eat what y'all are eating, I'll do it. If I can't, I never have to be at the mercy of anybody, nobody. So that's kind of my spiel on, thank you, step one. Thanks. Thank you. Well, and thank you for teaching me that. Like I said, anything I say tonight, I'm not coming up with this. Now, I did pray before I start, and I prayed, "Thy will be done," and God, you know, please direct my thoughts and my my actions and my what I say. So, but what I say, it comes out of the book, it comes out of people like you, it comes out of the meetings, it comes out of all that good stuff. So, step two, came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I was freaking insane to do all the things I did, to go to hospitals and to file bankruptcies and to be homeless and to be in psych wards and have 12 electric shock therapies, to lose family, friends, and money, everything, getting my car repossessed because eating and throwing up was more important to me than to pay my car. Hitting the girl on the bike, going to confessions, telling the priest what I'm doing, and he says, "I'm so scared that you're going to get caught." Having to go to halfway houses, quitting other programs when I'm in relapse. I never, ever, ever go to meetings when I'm in relapse. You are the last people I want to see. I want to eat. That's the kind of food addict I am. I am not able to keep coming back. I have to hit bottom. And so that's why I say I do not have another recovery in me. That is the insanity of my disease. And I am grateful I know that. Today. Last night, I didn't say this, that, you know, I know it's just some of the other things real quick so that people kind of know. I stole and embezzled thousands and thousands of dollars. I dated my husband because I needed someone to take care of me. My mom told my husband to get the guns out of the house because she thought I was going to commit suicide. I saw a friend, was going to tell her I was pregnant, but I wasn't. I was just so ashamed of my weight. I didn't talk about this last time. I got up to size 26. 628 in clothes, and we had a Lane Bryant, but they didn't carry size 30-32, and I thought, what the hell am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And other things that happened is I wouldn't be able to go to certain restaurants because I couldn't fit in the booth. I couldn't go to some of the movie theaters because I couldn't fit in the chair. But I kept eating, and I kept eating. That's the insanity of food addiction. So I had to believe that there was a power greater than me that could help me. And I remember going through the steps for the first time and leaving thinking, you know, God, I read We Agnostics with my sponsor. It's like, God, am I going to get this deal? And I heard a small, still voice say, fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. Now, today we keep saying, do the next right thing. Some of the words are different today. I don't hear fake it till you make it anymore. I hear, right, just do the next right thing, which to me is the same thing. So that's what I tried to do. Anyway, that's step two. I pretty much know I have no positive power to help me. I know that my life is unmanageable. I know I'm crazier than heck and that I got to find a positive power. And now I have to look at step three. Made a decision to turn my will and my life, my thoughts, my feelings, and actions over to the care of God as I understand Him. First of all, decisions means I'm going to take action. And sometimes that can mean inaction, but by taking inaction, that's an action in itself. So, and then to the care of God. I used to have a sponsee that would say, not only is God going to take care of me, but He cares for me. And I always liked that. So step three wasn't hard for me because it meant I got to go on to the next step. And so then it's step four. And again, step three, big, fat, long process. I believe I'm still in the process. I believe I will always be in the process of these steps as long as when I get done, I start over. I've always been taught, you go through the steps, you start over. And I've done that. That's what I do. And that's what works for me. So it might not work for you, but it's what works for me. So I get to step four, which I love step four, and I talked about it last night. I love those columns. I love to write. I'm very visual, and I love to get things out. So first column, I know it tonight, I was tired last night, is I resent, and I put the person's name. The second column is, what am I resentful about? And this is the column where I talk about, I get to take your inventory for the last time. And by God, I'm going to do it up. And I get to swear and yell and call you names and do whatever and all that fun stuff. And then the third column is how it affects me. And the third column is extremely important because the reason I get into resentment and fear is because of what that third column. Things have been triggered in the third column. I've either been my ambition, security, personal relationship, pocketbook. Go ahead, anybody. Self-esteem. Thank you. Yes, sex relations. Oh, I don't have problems with those. Sex relations. And those are the things that get triggered, and that's when I get into resentment and fear. And so, and then the fourth column, I get to look at myself. Now, being in some other programs, I'm really keeping my OA hat on tonight. I do look for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, but I've also added some words there. Lots of times I get resentful because I have expectations, or I'm being judgmental, or I'm not accepting you. So I might add words in there that are appropriate that fit that. I don't have to stay in the box of what it says. I was telling someone today, I change words in the big book that fit me. I'll change prayers that fit me, where it says, my creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I'm not willing to say good and bad. I just leave it out because I'm not good or bad. Then we talked about another prayer, but that's okay. Anyway, so I do that. And always then when I'm done with those four columns, it's fear. And usually what's gotten triggered is I'm relying on you and me or people, places, things, food, whatever, to be okay. And anytime I rely anything other than God, I'm going to be in spiritual trouble. And when I get in spiritual trouble, I get in emotional trouble. When I get in emotional trouble, I get in mental trouble. When I get in mental trouble, there's the food. So that's the deal for that. So, and I like what it says. I write what I'm afraid of. Why am I afraid? And then I shorten it. Am I relying on myself, God, or something else? It's always me. I'm always relying on anything but God. And then I say, does that work? No. What works? God. So then I say my little fear prayer. God, please remove my fear of and direct my attention to what you would have me be. At once, I commence to outgrow. I think that word's really important because early on in recovery, I would do that process and I'd still have fear. And I thought, oh, I did it wrong. It says I'm going to outgrow it. It tells me that it's going to be a process. And then when I ask God to remove my fear, and then it says, I will outgrow my fear, how would God have me be? I always get quiet, and I ask God how he would have me be, and I'll say, he, she, or it, because I'm neutral with the higher power thing for everybody. And I listen, and then whatever God says, I write down. And that's what I aspire to. And I ask God to help me with that. So that's that. And then I fifth step it with somebody who I feel really safe with, who will not judge me and love me and safe enough where I can share any secret at all. And that's what I do. And I always choose to do my sponsors because they know me better than anybody. So that's step five. Step six. Step six, people say, well, step six and seven can be elusive. Well, it depends who sponsored you and what you're learning. Now, in the seventh step, Mike and I were talking about this. There's awesome things in the seventh step and the sixth step in the OA 12 and 12. I got an assignment from a sponsor, and that's not in any book of here, but this is what I do. Step six is I become entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. Now, most of the time, I'm not entirely ready. I'm going to be honest. So usually I have to pray for the willingness to be willing. And then I always, she makes me write, what is the payoff for this defect? What is the cost? The payoff is, well, I get to be snotty and bitchy and judgmental, and I get to have expectations and yada, yada, yada. What does it cost me? Peace, freedom, serenity, self-esteem, self-love, spirituality, relationships, sanity, growth. And so I'm looking at both sides. And then I decide, and you know what? I had to do that. Every time something comes up, I have to do that. And after a while, I remember the first time I did it, I got so sick of writing. I really did become, I was ready to let God remove my defects of character because I got sick of writing about it. But that was good. You know, I hit bottom. And then seven, I love the seven-step prayer. And like I said, I change words in prayers. And my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you, my fellows, and to myself. Please grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. So I change words. My sponsor taught me to do that. Being an abuse survivor, you'll look for anything that will be more kind and loving to you. And anything that's negative, you get rid of it. Now, I'm not saying I do not justify and rationalize my defects of character. And they say it's progress, not perfection. For me, I do not get to say that statement until I've done everything I can to clean up whatever I did, whether it's with a person, place, thing, no matter what. After I've done all the work I can do, maybe go to a meeting, call my sponsor, write, read, whatever, then I get to say, okay, now it's progress, not perfection. It's not okay for me to beat myself up. Do I still beat myself up? Yes, I do. And I work on it very hard to not, and my sponsor's always telling me, I'll go to what I call telling on myself. That's my 10th step. I call to tell on myself, and she goes, okay, and I'll tell her, and she'll go, did you ask God to love and forgive you? To help God help you to love and forgive yourself. And I said, yes. Now, here can be a touchy subject for some of you. So remember, take what you like and leave the rest. I was taught I never have to ask God for forgiveness because he never judged me in the first place. He has always loved me unconditionally. Now, do I still do it? Sometimes I do. And then I can hear God say, it's okay. I love you. I didn't judge you in the first place. You judged you. So that's what that means to me. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had hired and became entirely ready to make them all. I love step eight. Easy step. First, I just make a list, which I can do that. That comes from my fourth and fifth step. This is the hard part, to be willing to make amends. But I even have a good solution for that. I make three columns. The first column is the easy amends. I'm going to do the easy amends first. The second column is the people that, I'll get there. I'll get there. The third column is I am never, ever making amends to you. But you know what? In that spiritual process, if I do the easy ones first, I get some healing. And then the second column isn't so scary anymore. And then that third column where I will never, I can do it. And that's a process. So I'm grateful for all these little things that I've learned from people like you who have taught me all these things to help me through this process. So then 9, I go out and make my amends. First, I try to make amends to myself. And I talked last night about how I make amends to myself. I might, you know, go ride my Harley, or I'll call my husband and see how he's doing, or I'll, you know, go to the movie, or I'll take a nap, or I'll take a bath. And you know what I forgot to say last night? The most loving, important thing I can do for myself is to stay abstinent and follow my food plan the way it's right for me, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. I have a friend in New York, and he says that a lot. I'm going to follow this food plan no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And I love that. I love that. So that's what probably the most kindest thing I can do for myself. And then stay in the program. Step 9. Step 10. Oh, God, I love step 10 because I make messes, people. And continue to take personal inventory. My personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, I promptly admitted it. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back to my inventory. I always, you know, this is just, I don't know if this is a food addict or what, but it is in me. I have this gene to always want to look at you first. Always want to look, it's just automatic. And now I've been around enough that you've ruined that for me. It's no fun anymore doing that because I know I'm not supposed to do that. So then I get back to looking at me, and I love the directions. It says continue to take inventory. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. We ask God to remove it. We make amends quickly if we harmed anyone. And then we resultly turn our thoughts to someone we could help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And when I do that, life is great. Now, when I lose my peace and serenity or want to eat, I need to look at my 10th step because something's gone on and I haven't dealt with something. So I need to go back and do that. And I don't sit on that stuff too long. I don't like to feel crappy anymore. I just don't. I don't have a high tolerance for stuff anymore like I used to. And so then I'll take care of it, and I do it with my sponsor. And I take inventory a lot of different ways. I'm always trying to look at myself. I do a daily one, and then I do a weekly one. And then if I can't let it go in the 10th step, whatever it was, I'll put it through all the steps, or I will do an annual house cleaning. And they always say, well, if you do a good 10 step every day, you don't have to do that. Well, I guess I've never done any very good 10 steps because I'm still doing annual inventories, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And then step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand God. I pray for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. Wow, there is so much in there. But the bottom line is I'm trying to stay in contact with God to have a better relationship with Him and to get knowledge of His, her, it, God's will for me and the power to carry it out. And for a long time, I hear people say, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to meditate. Well, I was very blessed with a friend who taught me how to meditate, and some nuns had taught her. So I had that. But I also learned meditation is, if you can't clear your mind, you know what? That's really normal. I was taught. I don't know really anybody. I'm sure there's some big, high spiritual beings out there that can do this. But my first 5 minutes in my brain is rawr, 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 rawr. And so for a long time, I wasn't able to do centering prayer. So I was taught to just set my timer for 5 minutes and say a mantra. Just say a mantra, whatever works like, let go and let God. Just let go and let God. And it would help me get peaceful. Now I'm able to get quiet. But it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, which I want to read something out here. Page 27, third paragraph. It says, the doctor is talking to his patients, and the patient said, is there no obstructions? You know, And it says, exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, and this is what spiritual experience means to me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of our lives, are now suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the method which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your type. This man picked up this book and did everything he was told to do in this book, and he remained sober till he died. So I don't think anybody is too bad to not have a spiritual experience, provided at least for me if I follow directions. So that's what the steps do. And for me, I heard this today, and I've said this a lot of times too. For me, God and the steps are synonymous. They go hand in hand. And so having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that power to help me with everything. I'm looking for that power to help me with people, places, things, food, whatever. And that's what the steps in the big book have done for me. Finding a power greater than me that could help me and could restore me to sanity. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry this message to others. I'm just going to carry the message. What happened to me? What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And then the last part, and to practice, thank you, darling. And God, I'm tired. And to practice these principles in all of my affairs. And this is what I love that the OA 12 and 12 says. People say, well, what's the principles in all my affairs? And for me, I'll say two things. First, the principles in all my affairs is, it's the steps. The steps are the principles. But if you want to get really down into it, this is on page, I had it marked. Okay. This is on page 103. Whether some of the principles inherent in each step that we are encouraged to practice in all of our affairs. In step one, and you'll notice when I read, I change the word to I because I want to make it really personal to me. And because I like to blame you and look at you, it was really important for me to change the words to I because that meant I, Jan, have to apply this to me. Not you, not you, not you, but me. So when I read it, I do change that. I suppose I shouldn't because AA does it. Well, in a setting like this, I won't change it. In step one, we learn the principle of honesty as we admitted our personal powerlessness over food and the fact that without help, we could not successfully manage our own lives. In step two, we learn hope as we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. This same hope will now need to underlie all our actions, even in our loneliest hours. In step three, we learn faith as we had made the most important decision we had ever made, the decision to trust God as we understood God with our will and our lives. Step four and five, we learn courage and integrity. As we face the truth about our defects of character, applying these principles in all of our affairs mean that we are no longer ruled by fear of admitting our mistakes. Step six, we learn more about the necessity of willingness as we became entirely ready to let go of our shortcomings. We apply this principle in many ways now, learning through each day's experience the difference between self-will and a simple willingness to cooperate with the guidance of our higher power. Step seven, we begin to understand the meaning of humility. We practice and not humiliation. Big difference. We practice this principle today by continuing to let go of status seeking and of thoughts and actions by which we belittled ourselves and others, and we humbly trust God for the removal of our shortcomings. Step 8 and 9. Now we apply the same principles of self-discipline and love for others to all of our actions. Self-discipline makes us less likely to hurt people and quicker to make amends when we do. Practicing the principle of love, we learn to accept others as they are, not as we would have them be. Step 10, we discovered the value of perseverance in working the 12 steps. Practicing this principle in all of our affairs today means that we continue to do the things which have brought us healing, even though we sometimes wondered if we still need to. Step 11, we learned the principle of spiritual awareness as we turned our attention to the practices of prayer and meditation. We practice this principle by seeking an awareness of God's presence in all of our affairs and by continuing to nurture our spiritual sensitivity through prayer and meditation. And finally, the principle of service, which underlies OA's 12-step, can now guide our actions both inside and outside the program. Here we experience the great truth that when we let go of our need to control people and simply allow our higher power to serve others through us, we receive an abundance of joy and strength. So for me, practicing the principles in all my affairs is, if I can't think of these right away, I just think of the steps. I just think of the steps. And last but not least, okay, I have to be honest, I'm reading a lot because I'm tired. And my mind is like, let's see. I'm going to read page 164, the last three paragraphs. Okay, it says, still you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you all for listening. I love you all. You are my people. Tonight I was telling these ladies, I feel fat, and I don't have to explain myself. I still have fat days, and I'll ask somebody, do I look fat? And they'll say, are you kidding? But they don't get how we think. They just don't get it, but you guys do. So thank you. God bless you. If you're struggling, please keep coming back till the miracle happens for you. And if you're not struggling, keep coming back and do what you're doing so that you don't have to struggle. And with that, God bless, and thank you so much.